This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. It is Monday, October 23rd, 2017. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati and Jake Gutierrez. Gotta be careful with the voice today. Took a beating yesterday on stage for the thousands and thousands of people that were inside Power and Light and KC Live stage for the Coors Light Fan Fest yesterday, leading up to the Missouri and Kansas exhibition basketball game, the Showdown for Relief. Thank you to all the great people that came out to celebrate with us. That was every bit as good as the Big 12 tournament as far as crowd and maybe a little something extra because of the atmosphere, because Mizzou and KU fans were in the house together. But that was, Jake was on stage with me on the for the Coors Light Fan Fest, and you did a fine job.
Like it or not, I was there.
Yeah. You know what? You liked it.
Yeah, it's fun.
Here's you.
I was very skeptical.
All last week, you didn't want to like it.
Nope.
And you liked it.
I didn't.
Because it was...
I was extremely skeptical.
And it was extremely awesome.
You know what? I was pleasantly surprised.
I'll be honest with you.
I had nothing thrown at me on stage. Well, nothing thrown at you on stage.
Somebody had something thrown at him. We'll get into that story. That was hilarious. But, I'm not kidding. I had
throwing something on stage.
I had a smile on my face all night long after that event and after that game. And, obviously we know how to have a good time and throw a party with our friends from Coors Light and down at on the KC Live stage. But there was, I'll be honest with you, there was something a little extra there for everybody. I mean, just the feeling and, like I said, the atmosphere. I had my boys with me, some good friends. My buddy Sam came down to hang out. A lot of good people that we have relationships with through this radio station on stage with us. Everyone from Greg Gurley to Jared Sutton.
Brian Haney jumped on stage.
He did jump on stage, and he was leading the chant with...
I needed a little help.
The chant with you, and then I took over and led the Mizzou chant, and it was. And we'll get to some other fun things and shenanigans that took place. One of my favorite stories from yesterday, but and then going to the game and the crowd was packed. And look, you heard me, well, Jake. At least you heard me. But we up at both the. Post-game press conferences from Konzo Martin and Michael Porter Jr. After the game on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook Live page, if you want to go check those out. And then Bill Self and Devontae Graham. Some other players are out there, too. Jordan Barnett for Missouri. And Doak.
Azubuki.
A man of few words. And the media was meant a few questions for Doak, but they
thanks. They were Coach Self induced one or two.
Oh well, yeah. that was probably the best part of the Kansas press conference. Like he didn't know. I don't think he had a rebound in the first half. Yeah. Did you, Doak? Did you?
No.
You didn't have any rebounds.
He just
did
put his head straight down.
Right. He just put his head down and hands just. Second half was a little bit better for you.
Yeah, he enjoyed it a little bit more, didn't he?
Devontae probably thought the first 7 minutes was the best games he ever played. Doak, I don't think he had a rebound. And, clearly he knows he did not have a rebound.
Right.
Something was said.
And yes.
It was, as soon as he said that, he just puts his
hands. Yeah, puts his hands in his head and straight down.
And then you hear.
But he enjoyed the second half, didn't
right?
Yeah.
But then, no kidding, then you just hear. Jake, the one guy out in the media that laughs out loud.
I didn't mean to.
I know you didn't mean to, but you did.
I know.
It was great.
It's about a half of a laugh.
That was still loud enough for me.
I got a half a laugh out, and I'm like, nope, not professional.
It was almost like
you realize no one else was laughing.
Yeah.
Like at a comedy show. No, not funny.
Button up media.
It was still funny.
It was hilarious.
And so we can get into a lot since the Chiefs didn't play yesterday. But the Broncos did get shut out.
They did.
My prediction of the Chargers finishing ahead of the Broncos looking very good right now. Hey.
It's early.
We'll sleep on the Chargers. Oh, it's not. It's not early for the Broncos. It's getting late. Anyway, I mean, what did you think of the crowd? You were there on stage. What you said you were like skeptical of what? I guess just
the atmosphere and people actually behaving and treating each other with some respect.
Would it be positive or would it be negative? Is what you were worried about?
I was worried there's going to be a lot of negativity. I was concerned that
I think you guys seemed like when it first got announced, like will anyone care from the Kansas side? Will people show up? Is this going to be a big deal?
And they did.
I think that was quickly answered when you walked in. There.
Right, absolutely. And I didn't. I spent some time in the crowd. I spent some time in the press box and up on stage, and mingling around the crowd. I didn't hear any crosswords between Kansas and Missouri. I'm sure there were plenty out there. Yeah. I wasn't around any of it, and it was a pleasant surprise. I didn't, and I should give Kansas City more credit. But there's always, especially at coming off, seeing some knuckleheads out of Arrowhead harassing kids in Steeler fan gear.
Arrowhead's a different atmosphere.
It is.
A much different atmosphere.
It is, but I didn't see any hostility, animosity, cross words.
I saw a little bit, but I asked for it, and I'll tell you that story in the next segment.
Oh, okay.
it was
an awesome atmosphere. I do think that, like, early, it was a little weird because I don't think people knew how, like, I didn't, like, it just felt weird. And then everybody kind of settled into what it was, and it was an awesome experience. It was cool how, I've never been to a bragging rights game or been to really an arena that was actually split right down
great,
the middle.
Wasn't it great?
It was really cool.
Wasn't it great?
I mean, because, half the arena's chanting one thing, and then, the KU goes for run, and then the other half of the arena's cheering.
Someone's cheering at all times.
Right.
At all times, there's a fever pitch and electricity. No matter, there's never any dead time.
It's fantastic. It was really cool just to feel it coming from one side and then the other side. And then, you could actually feel the audio and the vibrations coming from one half of the arena. And then
now we were there. And so we're not listening to what the broadcast crew had to say. And getting all the particulars, but so I'll just ask you this: once the game started, did that feel like an exhibition to you? Once we start going,
no. I mean, there are guys diving on the floor.
I mean, it's like you're watching. We got caught up in it. We're watching a basketball game.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is about there's nothing. Now we can look at the minutes and things like that, especially on the Missouri side, the playing time. I could tell you, and I was surprised when I look back at that to see how little. Like Michael Porter Jr. played, I can tell you why Jeremiah Tillman only played 13 minutes because he willingly fouled anyone in sight, including his own teammates and officials. And
he had seven fouls, and he used all seven.
It was
of them.
13 minutes and seven fouls, and he was good to go. Right. But I mean, that obviously, and then I asked Bill Self the question. I asked both sides the question, but Bill Self gave me a pretty good answer. I asked him, once this thing started, and as far as the intensity and everything, how close is this to a real game? He goes, oh, hey, it was great. We were out there playing. This was a game. Then later on, somebody followed up, and he kind of got deeper. He goes, now, look, we both agreed, we weren't going to play any zone. We both agreed that it was going to be seven fouls per player. We didn't exactly, have game plans for certain players. Because in that respect, it was like a real game. And even Konzo Martin said, look, all those post points for KU in the second half, that's on me. because I really didn't work on post defense, and we would handle things differently. And so you can put that on me. Don't put that on our players. And so obviously, as you get deeper into game planning and things they would have done differently in a real game that counted, then that's where it was an exhibition. But if you were in Sprint Center and you're watching the game, there was nothing that said, as far as the competition and the intensity, that was just a fun basketball game. It was like, from the time we got there until the time we left, that was as much fun as I've had doing any event down there in the years that I've been down there doing events. And I've pretty much done every freaking event at P&L on stage that has to do with sports and some that don't have to do with sports. And it was just, it was fun from the time we got there to the time we left. And it raised, what are they up to now, around $2 million after they put together all the figures for ticket sales?
I think more than that.
Sales, over $2 million now?
Yeah, I mean, it was $1.75 million.
At halftime, right.
And then I think they said pay-per-view buys were over $700,000.
Like, just that quick, 18,000 people bought the pay-per-view, and people were out there. I mean, and P&L was packed during the game, watched on the big screen. It was, again, it was hard not to smile just at the emotion of the atmosphere and everything else.
I mean, it worked out perfectly. I mean, the Sunday was open, no Chiefs, and everybody had, you know.
Weather was great.
Yeah, gorgeous out.
So thumbs up. And again, everybody that came together quickly to make this happen, from every angle, congratulations. It was great. And another reason why Kansas City is awesome and the college basketball capital of the world. Because not a lot of cities could do that quickly and have that kind of support that quickly and raise that much money and turn something that was, how long have we been waiting for this, 10 days? Or when was this announced?
It was only a couple weeks,
and,
right?
And something that it looks like, it couldn't have looked better if it was planned for a year, is my point. Just come together like, they must do this all the time. They must do this every year. This game and the way everything was put together was fantastic. It was just fantastic. So, and I hope everyone had that, shared that experience. From the looks on the faces and the excitement from the crowd and everyone into it, I can't imagine anyone having a bad time that was down there or that was in the arena.
I mean, I was one of the 18,000 watching it on the live stream. I had to, obviously watch it last night when I got home, and the production quality of the TV broadcast was great. I mean, when you got Fran Fraschilla, analyzing the game, and Holly Rowe out in the crowd doing interviews with people and reports.
Holly Rowe, y'all.
It felt like a big Monday game. I mean, watching it on the broadcast, and the atmosphere of the crowd, I thought they did a good job of capturing that. They did some camera shots from up high, looking right down center court. So, and they kind of drew a line to show that, like, on one side it's all black and gold, and on one side it's all crimson and blue. And Holly Rose, she's interviewing Norm Stewart and John Sunvold and Travis Relaford during the course of the game. It was a great, and that was the kind of thing, like you said, they had to throw that together in the span of what? Like, that was only like a matter of days by the time they figured out we can do a pay-per-view, and they get a crew like that, and Lee Fleissig did a great job, and the production quality was, it was fantastic. So, I mean, I wish I could have been there in person to see it and witness it like you guys did, but even watching on TV, because obviously a lot of people just couldn't get tickets.
Jake didn't recognize Sharon Collins. I had to point him out to him.
Yeah, they showed him in the crowd.
Well, we were getting off the elevator to leave, and he was getting on the elevator.
I just wasn't paying attention.
No, he looks a little different.
He's
and I said, and you were on a march. You were on a march. You had your head down. You walked. That's Sharon Collins right there.
Huh?
And you go, what? What? And then we just walked off.
I saw.
What?
After you said that, I turned around and looked. I was like, huh, okay.
you were skeptical of that as well.
I just saw.
He's a little sturdier than
that's him, Jake.
I just saw the back end.
Right, well, it's none of your business.
Well, I mean.
Right.
We were getting off the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more about. We can break, and then we can talk about what we saw from the game, because that was fun too. and some of the fun things that happened on stage down at P&L before the game. One especially was my favorite. We maybe the best dance off that we've ever had at any event.
Yeah,
I mean, it was so good. The Missouri contestant and the Kansas contestant both won tickets.
Yeah, and I
Jake's favorite contestant did not win.
Yes, I think she got robbed.
I think Jake offered her tickets, and she's
none of your damn business.
Immediately ran off the stage, and then he followed her, and
I did not.
Weird. We will we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about what we saw from the game, and then take a look at the Sunday in the NFL with no Chiefs. Apparently, the Broncos were off too yesterday.
Hey, hey-o.
Shut out for the first time since '92. I don't know if anyone
you suck.
Paying attention there about that. It's called the Olds Era. That's a goose egg in Denver. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up on the show, we'll talk to Herm Edwards from ESPN at 7:30. Then we'll talk to Gary Lezak and see what Gary complains about today. Then in the 8 o'clock hour, Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star, who many people believe is the quarterback for the Texas Longhorns. And he's not. At least I don't think so.
Sam Ellinger.
Very very confusing to a lot of people on Twitter.
Well, not just on Twitter. Connell the intern came in last week and was like,
Oh, about to get an Irish accent out of Jake.
Let's go. Let's hear it. Come on.
I didn't know Mellinger played football.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But yeah,
Ellinger, buddy.
Oh, Connell.
Oh, yeah. I was listening to the radio.
Because, like, watching the game, I keep thinking that they're saying Sam Mellinger. Boy, this Sam Mellinger.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching that game, and then they keep showing his mom. I don't know if you guys watched the Texas game at all. It was good. He kept showing his mom over and over again in the crowd, and then he threw maybe the worst interception I've ever seen in organized football. It just because they kept showing his mom thinking that they were getting ready to win. You know, it's fun. It's fun to see the kids and see the moms and the dads' reactions. Mm-hmm. And then I felt so bad because I felt like I got to know her. I'm like, oh, look, she's so happy, and look at her son's playing so well. And then they had to go right back to her after. I mean, go back and take a look at the Twitter reaction. I mean, almost every football guy said that's the worst decision I've ever seen a quarterback make. That's the worst interception I've ever seen a quarterback throw. You'd have to go back. I mean, he was okay. So, Jake, to give you some context, it was 10-10 going to overtime, and then Oklahoma State kicked the field goal, so it's 13-10, and Texas. It already, you know, they were in good position to kick the game tying field goal and go into second overtime, and he was getting chased out of the pocket and clearly a situation just throw it away, and I mean, like before he goes out of bounds, before he gets back, he just lofted it into the end zone, like something you would do. If you were down 7 or down 6 and it was the last play of the game, like, I just got to throw it up there and just threw it literally right into the arms of an Oklahoma State defender and it ended the game. And I kept rewinding, what was he looking at? What did he see? What was happening? And then I thought, I wonder if Sam Mellinger said right now, because people think he made the worst quarterback decision in football.
Aw, Sam.
And so I'm going to blame him for it in the 8 o'clock hour. Take the pressure off this kid. I think it's Sam Ellinger's fault.
Yeah, and maybe Sam Ellinger is getting credit for being a hell of a writer.
I don't know.
Right now. You know what I mean? People are like, this guy, not only is he a quarterback.
He's a scholar.
He's a heck of a columnist.
I felt really bad until I remembered that it was Texas. And so then I didn't feel bad anymore.
Yeah.
I felt bad for the kid's mom.
Right.
So, whatever.
Well, I don't really feel bad for any other football programs right now.
Why not?
Remember that whole rock bottom thing I asked Gary Barnett about on
look, if you're going to do something, what do I always say? If you're going to be bad, be really bad so you can break records. Yeah. And now Kansas football has broken the record, set the record for the fewest amount of total yards in a game in Big 12 history. That's history.
And good thing they got a late 17-yard play.
I've seen a lot of records over the last 7 or 8 years.
But I've seen varying reports. So what's the actual number? Because they were negative yardage for most of the game.
Yeah,
21.
They put up like 25 yards at the end of the game.
Right.
Like on the last drive.
They had a big 17-yard play on the last drive.
So they ended up with 21 yards?
21 total yards.
They had negative 25 rushing.
Well, because for most of the game, it was negative.
Right,
yeah.
They didn't have a yard.
Right.
And so they ended up with 21 total yards for the entire game. I want you to think about that for a minute.
They had negative 6 at one point in time late.
21 yards for a whole game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say that's impossible, but clearly it's not.
It's not.
So we'll talk football next. Let's talk about this game that we saw yesterday between Kansas and Missouri. Kansas wins 93-87. Mizzou was up by 4 at halftime. Then KU raced out to a 17-point lead. And then Missouri made a furious comeback. But not enough as they lose 93-87. I'll talk from the Missouri side, and you guys can tell me what you thought from the Kansas side. Here are the positives. I mean, there's too many of them for me to count if you're a Missouri basketball fan based on what we've seen the past 3 years. But, okay, so take a look at this. Michael Porter Jr. only played 23 minutes. That's not going to happen in the regular season in an important game.
Why was that?
Foul trouble. Because, Kazem Martin wanted everyone to play. Was spreading the playing time around. I mean, I was looking at Jake, and there was like 2 minutes left in the game, and Missouri's trying to make this furious comeback, and I kept telling Jake, Michael Porter Jr. on the bench. Michael Porter Jr. on the bench. Michael Porter Jr. on the bench. And he's giggling and laughing. I said, you know what, though? This is good. This is good, because there's more to this team, and that's the number one takeaway. There's more to that team than just Michael Porter Jr. So for the chuckleheads out there, well, you got Porter Jr., that's all you got.
Nope.
No. The guy I was most impressed with was, besides Michael Porter Jr., and he didn't have a great game, and you could tell he was upset after the game.
Yeah.
He said that he goes, I didn't have a good game. I'm not happy with my performance.
Yeah, 6 of 20.
And he didn't play well.
He was not happy with the shooting.
He didn't play well. He felt really bad. He looked visibly upset.
Yeah.
In the press conference, and in 23 minutes, he had 21 points and 8 rebounds.
Yeah.
And so then that's him playing bad.
Right.
So that's a takeaway. But the guy that I was most impressed with and I'm really enthused about is Jeremiah Tillman, the big man who decommitted from Illinois and chose Mizzou out of East St. Louis. Now, he only played 13 minutes. He had 10 points and 4 rebounds and, as Jake pointed, 7 fouls. But that kid can play, and he's athletic, and he can run the floor, and he's got a mean streak. If they could just keep him from fouling everyone in the gym. and you know who else I was impressed with? He shot the ball too much, but there have been differing opinions on Jonte Porter and whether he's ready or not. By the way, he's 17 years old, and he's supposed to be a senior in high school right now. But he was out there. He was trying to do too much at times, but he was balling. And you're going to tell me, between Tillman and Jonte Porter, both true freshmen, a 6'10 and 6'11 duo like that? Well, I don't know if Missouri's ever seen anything like that. Two big men that size with that athleticism. I thought Jordan Barnett, who's a senior, remember he transferred from Texas last year and played half a year, but he was really good. Jake, you were impressed with Cassius Robertson, who's the graduate student, the grad transfer, the fifth-year kid who transferred from Canisius, and he's a really good three-point shooter. That's something that Mizzou has desperately needed, and you saw that.
3 of 5 from behind the arc.
Right, and so I was impressed with him. Now, here's the issue. It's going to be figuring out the point guard situation, and what can you get out of the point guard situation. The guy that's going to start is the guy that started yesterday, Blake Harris, another true freshman that decommitted elsewhere and committed to Mizzou, part of this freshman class. He's going to be your point guard. He was only 1 of 5 from the free throw line, and so he's a work in progress. Terrence Phillips looked like he did not belong out there.
But you know, it's going to take some while for this to gel. He's a Kim Anderson player. He did not play well, but he's had good games. He's been okay in the past. And if you could tell me he's coming off the bench, and that's a funny thing. Like last year, the two best players on the team, which is, I don't know how you want to take that, Terrence Phillips and Kevin Puryear, they were coming off the bench and clearly have no, unless there's injuries, have no chance to start this year. And you're talking about upperclassmen that have been there. That's just what happens. And it's going to be interesting to see how all this gels. But for the time that they've been together and the fact that that was really the first game together, I was really, really impressed with what I saw. And I think that's the biggest takeaway. This isn't Michael Porter Jr. and a bunch of guys. I mean, Jeremiah Tillman is a hell of a lot better than any recruit, high school recruit, that Missouri has had in a long, long time.
Yeah, I think at one point in time I turned to you, I was like, you look pretty good in a Kansas uniform right now.
And I said, you stop it. You've got enough.
Just saying.
Yeah, I think he looks like the kind of player that Bill Self would like to
coach. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
well, remember after Illinois that there was rumors he was thinking about Kansas.
Yeah.
You know, an Illinois fan's going to be like, oh, no.
Like, right. I think Billy Preston may be the more skilled player, but Bill Self's going to have to be on his rear end his entire time at Kansas to get him to play physically.
Yep.
You have to back Tillman off. Like, you have to teach.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Right.
You would rather, Self would rather have that kind of kid, you know, that, hey, you're going to have to figure out how to stay on the court, kid.
Right.
But that kid, he's got a motor. He's physical.
Full he can effort. Run the floor.
Yeah. Full effort.
Yeah. I believe that he could have been called for 10 fouls if perhaps there was a tighter whistle there. But I mean, I'll take that.
They got 7 fouls. Yeah. Only lasted 13 minutes.
if they'd let you applaud for anything, I would. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid 7. I'm like. He hasn't even played 14 minutes yet. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's better than a foul every 2 minutes. I'm like, you know what?
Solid effort.
Inside, I'm applauding. This is fantastic. And so before we break, I mean, any other comments on what you saw from Mizzou or impressed, not impressed, or anything
else?
I
think they're going to be a good team. You know, I don't know where they're going to finish in the SEC and all that, but that sure looks like a tournament team to me.
Right.
They got size. I do think Michael Porter Jr. is going to have to be more aggressive getting to the basket. I think he settled for too many outside shots. That was probably part of the reason that he was frustrated with his game. But I think that's a natural thing for a guy who's a skilled player. But he's got that size, and he can score in and around the basket. I think sometimes when you're struggling, you can get yourself more points and get to the – and he did get to the free throw line 8 times. But I think that team, as they continue to gel, is going to be a good team, a tough team to play. And I agree with you, though, that the guard situation is going to be their biggest concern.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be, like, you know, Blake Harris is the guy, and it's a true freshman point guard. He's got size, 6'3", he's athletic, but it's going to take some time. And hopefully Terrence Phillips can be better. He's the veteran guy, can be better than what we saw yesterday. I don't know how much C.J. Roberts is going to play, but that's going to be a key. I think Fran Fraschilli even tweeted that out. Point guard play is going to be a key, but as far as the bigs and athleticism and size and shooting, Mizzou has a little bit of everything. So it's just going to be incredibly fun to watch this basketball team this year. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear what Nate and Jake have to say from the Kansas side of things on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, what did you fellas think? Any takeaways that you had from the game yesterday?
Well, Jake, you go first. You were there in person.
Was he?
Was I?
Well, I don't know.
Is that what you call it?
In person. Live in person.
Drank my water.
Devontae Graham, guy, is awesome. He's going to be a stud, and I think we knew that coming in. But I think Self talked about it, and Coach Self talked about it in the post game. Little to be desired from Malik Newman, and I think that he forced a lot of things, and I think that in time – he'll probably get in more of the flow of the offense. And look, the atmosphere probably was a little more than they expected. And they got caught up not running their offense. There was some sloppy basketball being played. It was entertaining and fun, but it wasn't very clean. I think you'll see their offense improve, as most Coach Self teams coached by Bill Self, they improve throughout the year offensively. Lot to be desired out of Svi Mykhailiuk. And then you obviously, we referenced it earlier in the show with Azubuike. Need a little motivation to get going in the second half. And once he got going, I liked what I saw to him. I think Billy Preston is a wildly talented player who's going to have the ability to add a lot to this team. And they're going to need that. So, all in all, I think I probably saw a little more than I want to of Mitch Lightfoot, but it is an exhibition game, and
maybe he saw enough of you too.
Right?
Ever think of that?
Hey,
more than he wanted.
He's somewhere right now. I saw more of Jake Gutierrez than I wanted to.
I think a lot of people are saying that right now.
It's certainly
but,
true.
It is, but that's what I take away from it. It was a fun atmosphere, and there's a lot of talent on that team, but. It seems like they're going to be leaning on Devontae Graham a whole lot. And, I think Malik Newman, the hype for Malik Newman was pretty big coming in. And so he probably felt a little bit of that. And
Bill Self made those two points. He said, without Devontae Graham, we're down double digits.
Right.
Easy in the first half. And then he was pretty quick to say that he didn't think Malik Newman had a good game.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you get one-on-one with Malik, he'll probably admit that himself. But 5-11, 1-for-4 from behind the arc, it's need a little bit more out of him.
So, my initial reaction to that is it's kind of like what you said with Michael Porter Jr., though. If we're disappointed in a kid in his first game at KU when he goes for 17.6 rebounds and 5 assists,
there you go.
That's a pretty good sign.
No,
that's a disappointing game. Okay.
Yeah.
For me, the biggest takeaway is that Devontae Graham showed that he is ready for this to be his team.
Yep.
Because that, to me, we all know Devontae Graham's a really good player. We've seen him have one of the best games I've ever seen a Kansas Jayhawk player have, literally, which was the game that he had where he had to guard the kid from Oklahoma.
Buddy Hield, maybe?
Buddy Hield.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you. You helped me out this time. You didn't do that.
I wanted to make you feel good.
Yeah, thank you. So we've seen him be great. But last year was Frank Mason's team. And you don't always know how a guy's going to respond to the fact, okay, now it's your team. You got to be the ball's going to be in your hands when the team needs, when there's 10 seconds on the shot clock. You got to create for the team. You got to, it's your team. And I think he showed right off the bat, yeah, he's ready for that. He's good with it being his team. The next takeaway for me is we know Andrea Hootie's phenomenal at what she does. The body transformation of the players that go to KU, whether it's skinny guys filling out and becoming strong and powerful or guys that are overweight, losing weight and getting more agile, a year of Azubuike with Andrea Hootie has done wonders. He looks so much more fit to play a college basketball game. The fact that he played 27 minutes, I don't think last year he could have played 27 minutes.
That's a great point.
And
he does. His body looks totally different.
And you can see it in his agility.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he only committed 2 fouls, now some of that was he didn't play as physically as he should, and obviously Bill Self made a point on that, but a lot of it was he actually moved his he is amazingly light on his feet considering how huge he is. But I will say this: you pointed out that that Konzo Martin mentioned this. Fran Fraschilla talked about this on the broadcast. I watched obviously the television broadcast. A lot of the points for Azubuike was scouting report stuff that Kansas is not going to get once teams start scouting KU and preparing, because it was Azubuike was posting up on guards sometimes. And things like that, they're not going to allow some of those sets to get run once teams. And you always talk about why do games get so ugly when you get into conference play? Well, because teams take away all that stuff.
He'll have to work for it more than he did yesterday.
Yeah, but that's gonna free up things for other guys because he is going to be a load to deal with. So that was another one of my biggest takeaways was I'm actually optimistic that Azubuike is going to be able to play close to 30 minutes a game if he stays healthy, which I would not have thought that going into the season. And if he can do that. And I'll say this, too. I think Mitch Lightfoot actually is going to be a useful guy. If Billy Preston played with the aggressiveness and the scrappiness that Mitch Lightfoot does, and I think at some point Bill Self will get that out of him, he'll be a tremendous player because his ceiling is 100 times higher than Mitch Lightfoot's. But Lightfoot brings a little scrappiness, a little physicality, and they're going to need that off the bench from that team. And Kansas always has one of those kind of glue guys, and I think Lightfoot could be that guy.
If I would have told you on Friday to pick the greater number, Devontae Graham points in this exhibition game versus Kansas total yards against TCU, what would you have picked, to be honest?
I don't know.
On Friday, what would you have picked? I know what you'd be. What would you have picked?
Well, probably Kansas total yards, but, I mean, I wouldn't have.
You would have been wrong. Devontae Graham
was. Yeah, I know. I know.
There it is, Jake.
Where?
You're wrong. Is that shocking to you?
It's look, nothing that Kansas football does.
That's
got to
be a little shocking to have 21 yards in a game.
I mean,
that's like a solid run.
Do you know how
someone.
Many records KU has set football?
Do you know how
hard
that is for four quarters to play, and not get more than 21 yards? That's something different. Well, it's a record. Yeah. Big 12 record, and the Big 12's been around since 96. How many bad teams have we seen in the Big 12? Some really bad teams.
Here's the problem.
That's unbelievable.
It's not unbelievable. I wish it was.
I don't believe it.
I wish it was unbelievable. But do you know how, I mean, you know how many times when I was doing the sidelines for KU over the last, like, 5 to 6 years that I was doing that job,
right,
that I had to text Katie Lonergan up in the press box to say, I'm really sorry to ask this question, but is this a record, what we've just done?
And every single one of those times, they had more than 21 yards.
Right, but they set every other record like they said.
But that's a hard one to set. That might be the most, because you can't score less than zero.
Right.
I mean, zero is always, right. I mean, so that's this right. one, you know. You
there
gotta
was one. There was one, like,
get after it.
They played, like, under right. Turner Gill, they played at Texas, and I think, and I'll have to go back and look this one up. I think they literally didn't have a first down until, like, the fourth quarter. Yeah. And that was a record at the time. I was like, is this a record? You know?
No.
Yeah, the answer was yes, by the way. It was not.
No.
You're wrong, Turner
How
Gill.
Do you have 31 rushing attempts for minus 25 yards?
No.
One thing I will say in college, you know, sacks go for negative rushing
well, so
yards.
Well, I feel like so. That was still.
I mean, but I don't know what to tell you, man.
No.
I don't know what to tell you. All right?
Tell me something. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
No.
All right, so I'm going to tell the story about some fun that we had on stage in the next segment after we get off TV. So if you want to hear it, you can listen to Sports Radio 810 WHB once we go all radio at 7 o'clock. But thank you for watching on 38 The Spot.
I'm not sure I even know what direction you're going here.
Oh, you should, because it was the funniest moment of the entire day. Don't give it away. You just sit and wait.
Well, my funniest moment of the day might not have been yours.
Right.
But I think I know what you're talking about.
But yesterday in the NFL, the games that we care about, the Chargers shut out the Broncos 21-0. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Ooh. Oh, my. Whoop. Oh, whoops-a-daisy there, Denver. Oh, no. Oh, Denver. Like, and somebody tweeted at us. Oh, great. Now, for the third straight game, we're going to have a desperate team playing the Chiefs. And I'm like, don't you think the Chiefs are a little desperate after losing right, yeah. back-to-back games? I know. You cannot put lipstick on that pig. Denver is coming to town on Monday night, and they're going to be facing a Chiefs team that has a few extra days of rest and are going to be at home on Monday night. And the Chiefs need a win. The Broncos need a win, but the Chiefs are better than the Broncos. And the Broncos quarterback situation is horrific.
Yep.
It's terrible.
Maybe Trevor Siemian's limitations terrible. Are starting to come to the surface.
Terrible. They can't run the ball. Can't throw the ball.
He was harassed all day, too.
Harassed.
Sacked 5 times.
Well, and that's where if you don't have an arm that's out of this world, you better have some mobility. And that's the tough. That's what's so hard to play quarterback in this league, man. You know, if teams can take, you know, if you're not really good at something, it's going to come back to bite you.
Hey, thanks, Chargers. They went at the Raiders, and then they beat the Broncos. Oh, thank you.
And the Chiefs already won at the Chargers.
Thank you,
so that's
Chargers.
Nice, isn't it?
Hey, they're going to be a tough out the rest of the year. That was a very nice performance by the Chargers, shutting out the Denver Broncos 21-0. And then a week from tonight, we'll see the Broncos at Arrowhead on Monday Night Football. You like that? And, oh, by the way, tonight, what a wonderful Monday Night Football matchup between the Redskins and the Eagles. Sign me up for that one. Yes, please. Back after this on WHB. Thank you for watching us on 38 The Spot. And really, thank you to all of the wonderful Sports Radio 810 listeners that spent some time with us yesterday at the Coors Light Fan Fest. It was great. I hope everyone had a great time. I had a fantastic time. Jake normally does not like to interact with people. He did a wonderful job of actually smiling and talking to people. He gave Greg Gurley a long hug, which was uncomfortable for everyone, but that's fine. But keep listening to us right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.